Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Welcome. Thanks for listening. I'm here at the BEI conference, which is Business Enterprise Institute. It's their annual conference, and a lot of professionals have come here to sharpen their saw, learn more about some tools and techniques and strategies they can bring back to their business owner clients. And with me is Mark Flanagan of Circle Insurance Agency in Lubbock, Texas. Mark, welcome.
Morning, Bill. Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for coming on. And, you know, one of the things we like to start with is just giving our listeners a sense of who they're listening to. So could you tell us a little bit about you and your background?
You bet. I have been in this insurance business for about 30 to 35 years. I actually started in the property and casualty agency business, gravitated to the life insurance business, was a career agent with Mass Mutual for 11 years. Continued to kind of experience different things and add what I call arrows to my quiver over the years. Never stopped doing anything, just kept adding to it and looking for different opportunities to expand what I do and to try to separate what I do from other insurance agents in the business who, you know, we tend to get commoditized in what we do a lot. So I've always tried to look at things and see where the next opportunities are. And the next opportunity was in 2003 when I was attending a conference and heard a guy named John Brown speaking at a conference about something called exit planning, which I'd never heard the term before. We'd always done succession planning in the life insurance business. And John was sitting there talking about how his law firm was, and he was a specialist in helping business owners exit their business. And I sat there and it was sort of one of those epiphanies you have from time to time. And I thought, wow, all this great work that I've been doing over these years for business owners, they're really, I've only really got in good shape if they die. Nobody was working with them to get out alive, converting their cash ownership to cash, if you will, and helping them transfer their business in some way other than through estate planning and death. And so that's what got me on the exit planning track, and it's changed everything I've done since then. It is the cornerstone of how I engage a business owner who has pretty much always been my client, but it's totally changed the context and the tone of the conversation. It's a lot easier, I found, to have a conversation with a business owner about converting his ownership into cash than it was his estate plan.
Well, and of course, the whole contingency planning, if things go wrong, if they die or if they become disabled or their key people die or become disabled, insurance, there's still nothing like it because it matches the need with the timing of that event. But you're right. A lot of these old insurance company kind of strategies for succession planning are strictly about getting to a policy sale. And then, but there's nothing necessarily wrong with that, but it's just not a holistic approach. A lot of people don't want to bet on dying. They'd rather bet on living.
Exactly.
Right?
And it's much easier to have a conversation about living than dying. And in the exit plan, obviously, as you and I know, the succession plan or the estate plan is an integral part of that. It can't be complete without it. But from an entrepreneur's place, it's a lot easier to engage in that conversation when you're taking that holistic approach, taking it through a process as opposed to a transaction.
Now, there's a lot to learn and a lot to do in a typical type of an exit plan. And so you come to meetings like this to kind of learn about what's going on in other areas of the planning, because there's, you know, listeners out there, there's tax planning, there's legal planning, there's insurance and financial planning, and there's operations type of planning that all go into this. So it's important that exit planners know all of these different things. Is that why you come to these conferences?
It is. And also, just there are so many things that change all the time. We all know what happens to taxes and legislative changes, and it's a good place to keep up with that. It's a good place. The one thing this organization has done, and I've been involved with it since they started in 2003, John and his staff have always continued to evolve the organization and not ever stay stagnant at what they've originally done. So I've never regretted coming to one of these conferences. I've always picked up some valuable, aha, I need to circle back around and readdress that, or I didn't realize that was going on. And also, it's a great place to sort of network, because in exit planning, if you're not doing a lot of collaborative work, you're probably not doing a lot of exit planning.
Good point. So what's going on with Circle Insurance Agency these days? What are you seeing happen out there?
Circle is my newest, I won't call it adventure, but basically it's sort of my exit plan, as I was explaining to you earlier. It's a diversified property and casualty agency that has everything except securities in it in terms of employee benefits, property and casualty, life insurance, group benefits. It's a group of 16 entrepreneurs that own the agency, including myself, that have come together. It's like a private equity group, if you will, set up to sort of take advantage of the business that we control, the networking that we do, to kind of try to grow it exponentially. It's also, ironically, sort of my own exit plan. We've got young people in place that will follow me along the line. We've got some buy sales in place for the different people. We've got another agency that's involved, a sister agency, who has a first right of refusal to buy the agency. So it's sort of my own exit plan. I didn't want to be like the cobbler walking around barefooted. Mm-hmm. So I'm at a stage in life where you're trying to figure out what happens to my client base when something happens to me is mm-hmm. always the proverbial question. So Circle is the solution to that issue. It's also a great opportunity to continue to move to that proverbial next level. It's a lot of collaborative, a lot of networking, which is fun. That's kind of how it worked historically anyway.
It's got to be a relief for your clients to hear that you have a long-term right. succession plan in place, because that is a huge problem in the financial services and the CPA and other professional services worlds. Is clients are wondering, what's going to happen if my agents or my attorneys or my accountants, if they pass away, or if they just decide it's time to hang it up, because they don't want to retell all the stories. I mean, they're intertwined with you pretty deeply, I would imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. You know that from being in this business as long as you've been in it. But there's a certain security blanket there for your clients if they're dealing with a team of people as opposed to one individual that has all the intellectual capital, knows where all the hand grenades are, and knows what the solutions that they've agreed to. And so we're excited about it, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And so, as always, exit planning is going to be very much a part of what we do. Our clients are entrepreneurs, and that's certainly the target market for exit planning.
So you're in the business of really transferring risk. You can't eliminate risk, but you can mm-hmm. transfer risk through insurance. And what would you tell a business owner are some of the three biggest risks that they should address if they're just starting to look at their insurance planning, for instance? What are the top three that you would say, well, the first thing we ought to do is this, this, and this?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind when you say that is I'm amazed at the number of people that I sit down with that do not have a will at all, much less a properly executed or an up-to-date will. Those wills need to be looked at every few years. Things change, circumstances change. So that seems very basic, but I'm amazed at how many people, regardless of their net worth, have not taken care of that, number one.
That's a communication tool that people need to, if they leave the earth really quickly, that's going to save a lot of people's aggravation and time and really help understand what their intentions were.
Yeah, and with a properly executed will, you can control from the grave what you wanted to happen, but without one, you're really at the mercy of the courts and anybody who wants to go to court to challenge something.
What I always say about that is that you're either going to be remembered for your planning or your lack of planning.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if you leave this earth without clear instructions to the people you love about what you intend, and you don't talk about this stuff every day, you're going to be remembered for your lack of planning. It's not going to be pretty.
That's a great point. That's exactly right. Second thing I think I would talk to them about would be, again, you've got to have trusted advisors, and everybody throws that term around loosely, and everybody wants to bring trusted advice to the table, but as you grow as an entrepreneur, I've seen a lot of cases where you simply outgrow your advisor team. As the more successful your business gets, don't be afraid to listen to new ideas that can often be brought to the table by people you've not met yet. And that's the beautiful thing about BEI and the exit planning. We met a lot of people, and again, it's a collaborative process. Because as the exit planner, as you know, you're the general contractor, you're the quarterback, whatever you want to call it, but you can't do an exit plan by yourself as an advisor. It takes a team of people, and some of those people may not be the ones that have They may have gotten the owner to that point, but they may not be the people to help the owner do an effective exit plan. Mm-hmm. So, but a team of people, it's a collaborative process. I say that over and over again. They need to be open to that. And the third thing is do a lot of seminars on exit planning. And the thing I tell them that I want them to always remember, it is impossible to start your exit plan too early.
Mm-hmm.
The more years we have to put this thing together, the more options you're going to have during the entire time. It's like, I use an analogy, it's like booking a trip to Europe. If you call me in July and you want to go in August to Europe, I'm going to give you very few choices and it's going to be very expensive. Same thing with an exit plan. If we start a year out planning that vacation, I can bring you a lot of options and save you a lot of money. Same thing is true with exit planning. You cannot start too early on going down this process, and because you simply want to have the options that are available to you when you start planning early.
You know, what's interesting about what you've just said is that over 300 interviews, we've tracked what the most frequent responses are and recommendations are from advisors across the board, and it's exactly those three.
Exactly.
You know, so yeah, it's exactly those three. It's get started on something and get your team together, because then you're going to have the best efficiency. And when you have everybody engaged early on, then what you really need is a playbook. A running order.
Right.
You don't just put the football team on the field and say, go do whatever you guys want to do, right? You have to call the plays.
And then you've got to be able to be willing to change that playbook as well, because things are going to change throughout your business life. And if you're working on this plan, you know, it's an evolving document sometimes. The objective is the same, but sometimes the path we need to take to get there can change based upon life circumstances. Because as Forrest Gump said, stuff happens.
Stuff happens. So do you see any trends happening right now in your area? Is business starting to come back some and thrive some? Or what do you see happening out there?
I've sort of gravitated towards the outside third-party sale is where I have tended to focus. I work with Kevin Short of Clayton Capital Partners out of St. Louis. Now they're an investment firm that specializes in mergers and acquisitions for the entrepreneur. And what we're seeing is a lot more buyers than sellers. It's a seller's market right now. We're seeing a trend that the business owners are being a little more cautious. They're making too much money to want to get out right now. It's sort of the mindset.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the trend that we're seeing as far as the outside third party sale. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I'm seeing is the family owned business is always. When I use the word dysfunctional, that's not meant critically. It's just the family usually trumps the business, and I'm seeing more and more of those situations where a family business needs outside help from people like us. But we all seen the stats. They don't successfully transfer to the third generation, and hardly even the second generation in a lot of cases. And so those issues that families deal with in family-owned businesses, I think that's one of the great things that exit planning can bring to the table. It's a way to try to bring some solution and clarity to try to keep the family together while they're running the business.
Yeah, but in family businesses, we often say that even though they're running the business, there's other objectives, and one of the biggest objectives is happy Thanksgivings.
Yeah, so you can still have that dinner together. But you know, when you're hired as a family member, you're there because you're a family member in a lot of cases, and that's not always the best thing for the business. And so, but in the vision of the mom and dad who started it may not be the same vision that the kids have. I've got a client that we're working with right now that is a second generation, and now that the dad has stepped out, we've got the two brothers involved. Then suddenly they're trying to figure out, okay, who's going to be making the decisions? Where's the control going to be?
Yeah.
Who's best qualified to do this and do that? And that's such a common thing. You've seen it over and over again.
Yeah.
And that is one great reason to go down the exit planning path, try to bring some process and some answers to those questions that are highly charged and emotional sometimes.
Yeah, and earlier the better again, because especially if you're going for that outsider sale at some point, a family business obviously oftentimes wants to perpetuate into the next generation.
Absolutely.
But sometimes the best solution is come to the end of the line and dad says, look, I can't risk the kids running this because they don't have the capabilities to take this business to the next level. And if I don't get paid out from the business, my retirement goes up in smoke. And then you really talk about unhappy Thanksgivings. You're going to have some real problems.
Everybody's unhappy. I've seen cases where the dad makes the decision, if he's the entrepreneur, that, you know, we're all better off if I just sell to an outside third party, cash us all out, and then we can all do what we want to do, and we can still stay together as a family and enjoy those Thanksgiving dinners. But anyway, we've started down a lot of those paths where they want to transfer the business to the children or a key employee group, but it's just better for the owner if he does something else. When he sees the risk and the expense involved, the third-party sale is oftentimes the solution they end up going for.
Well, you gave us some great ideas and tips. Mark, what would you tell someone would be a good starting point to find out more about what you do? Do you have some type of a website analysis or phone calls, or how do people get in touch with you best?
Email is a great way. mark@circle-insurance.com. A conversation is the simple answer. From a conversation, I think that both the entrepreneur and I will have a good idea of whether there's some reason to continue to talk and go forward. That's what I found the best thing to do. We have conference calls are easy to do these days. We work all over the state of Texas and over to Louisiana. I think there's a simple phone call or an email, and we've got a couple of good books. We've got a ton of white papers on any particular topic. As you know, there's a lot of intellectual capital in this subject, or any drill down to any specific topic that you want more information on. But reach out and ask for help. I find that when business owners start thinking about getting out of their business, they don't stop. They just don't know where to start. They don't stop thinking about it, but they don't know where to start. So start with a conversation. Our job is not to go and replace any trusted advisor you have. We need those trusted advisors you're working with now to do a successful exit plan. But so many times, as you know, that we use the term silo. All these advisors, the CPA, the attorney, they're all working in silos, and they never communicate across those different skill sets. And so our job is to make sure that playbook you referred to, we're all using the same playbook. And there's even a playbook that even exists, where right now, typically, it doesn't. So I would say just a phone call, a conversation, an email, and start a conversation.
Yeah, and listeners, you know, there are people out there that wing it, and there are people out there that are professionals that go learn the processes, the skills. They go back to conferences yearly to learn more about what's new and what's going on. And Mark Flanagan is one of those guys who's coming back to learn more and stay up to date, and he uses an organized process. So why not give him a call? Mark, how do people get in touch with you again?
806 area code 392-3536. That's my cell number, so it's pretty much a 24/7 number. And again, mark@circle-insurance.com.
And you mentioned Kevin Short, and he was on our show not too long ago. You can find his interview at exitcoachradio.com. Just type in Kevin Short into the indexed archives, and you'll find his excellent interview about selling a business for an outrageous price, which is a great way to put it.
It is, and that's what Clayton Capital does. We all have unique abilities as individuals, and what Kevin's process does is identify as a company what the unique competitive advantage that company has, and then we leverage that to get that outrageous price. And as we say, anybody can sell a business for what it's worth. That's not the objective. Our objective is to sell it for an outrageous price.
Great talking with you. Thanks for joining us today, Mark.
Thanks, Bill.
I've been talking with Mark Flanagan of Circle Insurance Agency from Lubbock, Texas. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back, so please stay tuned.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50-plus business owners, where we're interviewing over 250 top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new one-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.